I'm going to open up with a story of how I failed. So I'm not one who fails much in life because I'm super committed. I'm all in. But there are some times, you're all laughing, because I try my hardest. But there are some times in life where I have like failed really hard. And I was coming out of seminary, you know, I had my MDiv, I was super, you know, excited, wide-eyed, open-armed, God's going to place me in this really healthy church, it's going to be awesome. Little did I find out, it was going to be like one of the hardest experiences of my life, being on staff at a church after seminary. And to give you some context, like a few months in, I had two people separately come up and apologize to me for not being honest in the interview process about the state and health of their church. And I was like, oh man, what's going on here at this church? And so there's just a lot of dynamics with certain staff dynamics that were going on at the church. And you know me, I'm pretty strong-willed. I'm a like, strong personality and I have an opinion. I've learned a lot of humility since then, a lot more. But one of the things that I didn't do well in that time is I didn't learn how to follow the leadership God had placed over me. And I thought I was right. You know, other people said I was right. These things were going on. And so much so that there were some challenges in, you know, the phrase is spiritual abuse could have been used. Like being spiritually abused over a long period of time. So much so that just a couple months ago, the church actually flew down a delegation to our house in person to apologize to us for what took place. With the staff dynamics, because the elders didn't take responsibility and intervene in the situation as they were intended to. So when I was going through this situation, I was cracking. Like I would go home and I was like kind of cracking emotionally and mentally. Like I couldn't handle it anymore. And you know what I did? I dipped. I was like, I'm out. And this is one of the mistakes I made in my life is God, I don't believe actually released me from that role. But I chose to leave that role because of how much pain I was experiencing and I couldn't do it. And so I left, and you know what God did for a period of time? He set me aside for like 6 months so I could just work part-time at a university and work through some things, and it just went from bad to worse. So I actually failed in my life journey and my ministry journey. I ejected from a ministry situation that God had not released me from because I was experiencing so much pain. And you know what the lesson God wanted me to learn? He wanted me to learn how to submit to ungodly, unhealthy, and abusive authority, spiritual authority. And you may be thinking like, what? That's so unhealthy. You shouldn't be doing that. You should eject out of that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the culture says to do, but that's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says submit to the authorities over you. And so when I chose to leave that one, you know what God did? He placed me in another situation for a way longer amount of time under worse circumstances. And guess what I had to do? I had to pass. I resolved, I am not going to leave this place. I'm going to stick it out no matter what happens until God released me. And after a long period of time, God released me and I passed the test. But I wanted to start off with a story of how I crash and burn failed. It was really bad. And if I didn't recover from that repenting and turning back to God, God could have said, hey, Jared, you know, you messed up. You're not actually qualified to serve in the future destiny I have for you because you're not going to be able to have the character integrity to be able to hold on, to be able to take on everything I'm going to place on your shoulders as you follow me. So I want us to open up our Bibles. We're going to look at a story where someone actually passed their test really well. So I want to encourage you to open up to the book of Daniel. This is in the Old Testament, so it's before Jesus was born here on the earth. If you're not sure where Daniel is, you can look at the front of your Bible on the table of contents, and it'll tell you the page where it starts. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 6. So the big number is the chapter, and the little numbers are verses. So Daniel chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12, and then verse 28. And if you're like, why are you skipping a big chunk in between? You'll know when we get there. We also don't want to cover like all the verses just with our time. But verses 1 through 12 and verse 28 in chapter 6. And when you read this, we're going to give you some time to read it for yourself. You can ask two simple questions. What am I learning about God as I read this? And what am I learning about people? So what am I learning about God and what am I learning about people? So take a few minutes to read Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, and then jump over to verse 28. So as a church, God has given us 10 conditions to be a Mark 420 church. A Mark 420 is a good soil church that produces 30 to 60 and 100 fold harvest. So one of the conditions God has given us is for leaders to emerge in our church. And so God creates spaces to raise up leaders here at Enrich Church. And so literally, if you're sitting in a chair here or you're standing in the back, like, you are called to be a leader in the kingdom of God. God is wanting to develop you and cause you to emerge as a leader. And there's a process that God takes leaders from to raise them up. And it's actually a process that is similar to almost everyone. And we'll look at some of that today. So part of our leadership emergence is that God wants to develop people with character, with integrity, with wisdom, and hearts to serve. So as a leader, God wants to develop character in you, integrity, wisdom, and a heart to serve. He wants you to disciple 2 to 3 other people one-on-one or start 1 to 3 groups. So he wants you to take what's been given to you, and he wants you then to impart it to other people who impart it to other people. So you can see it's discipleship multiplication. And in the heart as a leader, he wants you to have a heart to sacrifice for his kingdom and for the gospel, where you no longer live for yourself, but you're living fully 100% for Jesus. So let's look at verses 1 through 3, and we'll go through this together. So Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and 2 other administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel proves himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. All right, how many of y'all want to be like Daniel? You want to go to the top of your field and be the best? No hands? All right, there we are. Okay, there they are. I saw a few hands go up. All right, God took Daniel through this process. And as we look at this, I want to know how many of y'all raise your hands afterwards to say, that's me, after you see what Daniel's process is. But you'll see God's heart to develop leaders through this. So Daniel rose to a position of influence through God's process. And you'll see God's process is very intentional. So Daniel was the top 3, and then he's going to be the number 1. So imagine, like, he's 120 provinces, think about like 120 states, something like that. And you are the one who's in charge of everything. So you are at the top, and you've risen to the top. So when you read through this, it says Daniel proved himself to be more capable. So he proved himself. So Daniel went through God's process. How many of y'all have ever been to Disneyland? I know some over here went this past week. Yeah. You know the Fast Pass or the Lightning Lane? Fast Pass is from, like, if you're really old like me, but Lightning Lane is, like, if you're young nowadays. Like, you know, you can just go, like, right to the front of the line, or you could, like, have a real short line. Like, that didn't happen for Daniel. He didn't have the Lightning Pass. He didn't have the Fast Pass. He had to go through that long line to get to the top. He had to go through God's process. And if you're familiar with Daniel's story, he had a bunch of tests before this point. So in Daniel chapter 1, with the Jewish laws and customs, the king that had him was going to have him eat food that would actually break his Jewish customs, and he would sin against God. And so if he would have ate that, he would have sinned against God. But if he wouldn't have eaten it, they probably would have killed him. So he worked out a plan with the guy who was overseeing him to eat vegetables, only vegetables, and drink water for 10 days. And if he looked better than the other people, then the guard who was overseeing them would let them do it. And guess what God did through those 10 days? They looked healthier than everybody else. So God made a way for him not to compromise his character, his integrity, to be obedient to God while living in the circumstances he had. There was another one where Daniel was called up to interpret a dream. And you know what was going to happen with his dream if no one could interpret it? The king was going to kill everyone. He said, if you can't do it, I'm killing y'all because y'all are fake. And guess what Daniel did? He got on his face with his friends and he sought the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? God showed him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and then he interpreted the dream. So he had his life at stake again. So you can see these are 2 times that Daniel was going to be killed, but he chose to remain in character and integrity and not compromise and to be obedient to God in his life. Then his 3 friends had to go through a test. So Daniel knew about this. He had to have seen it from a distance. So his 3 friends were there. Big idol of the king. If you don't bow down, literally get on your face and bow and worship this thing, we're going to throw you into a fire and we're going to incinerate you. You know what his 3 friends did? They didn't bow down. You know what they did with the 3 friends? They threw him in the fire. But because they feared God more than they feared any other person, they honored and respected God more, God preserved them through the fire and they came out unburned. So Daniel had to have known about that. And there's some other tests that he went through, and everything else in between that you can think of, Daniel went through all those tests of his character, of his integrity, of his faithfulness to God to stick it out no matter what. So Daniel had to go through this really long, arduous process of God working these things out in his character to really see if he would trust God and be obedient to God and sacrifice to God more than anything else in his life. So jump back into our scriptures here, verses 4 through 9. We're going to look at some opposition that begins to arise as Daniel goes to the top. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in the connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into a den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign a law so it cannot be changed, an official law of Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So Darius signed the law. How many of y'all have haters in your life? Anyone have any haters? I saw some hands go up fast back there, right? Man, some haters. Guess what? Haters are going to hate, and they're going to be in your life throughout your whole life. Especially when God starts to promote you and give you favor and give you honor, people are going to look at that and get jealous. So all these people were haters. They were getting jealous of Daniel and what was going on in his life. But did you see how the Bible described Daniel there? Faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. There was nothing in this guy that they could find in his life and how he lived that would violate anything. Except they say, we're going to make something up about his religion, how he follows his God. So this was all about Daniel's character and all about his integrity. So did you notice what came right after that? An accusation. Who's the accuser? The devil. So if you got godly character and you're living a godly life and God is promoting you in your life, in your career that you're living, or if you're in school and you're excelling, like, guess who's going to come after you? The accuser. So he's going to choose some fool to come up in your life and be like, say something that isn't true or something that may be true, but it's off, to accuse you so that you look bad and people are going to be able to say things about you. And so Daniel was set up with this accusation, and we'll look at what Daniel did. And did you notice what God was doing in the midst of this? Nothing. God was watching. God didn't do anything. God wasn't intervening. God didn't stop the haters. He said, haters, you keep hating. Daniel, I'll see what you're going to do when this starts to unfold in your life. So now we're going to look at the test, verses 10 through 12. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he'd always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God for help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into a den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians and cannot be revoked. Can you imagine you're Daniel and you're praying to God and you got these guys like snooping, like looking through your windows and stuff? Like, how did they come know? So you got these snoopers coming up on you. And did you know what Daniel did? He did the same thing he always did. He didn't allow the accusation. He didn't allow the challenge to get him to do something different. He did not compromise. He said, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be consistent and steadfast going after my God. So he did not deviate from commitment or obedience to God, even though the jealous leaders had set a trap for him. And you know what Daniel did? He stepped right into the center of that trap. And he said, I'm going to trust God no matter what happens, even if it costs me my life. And so again, notice God did not intervene. So if you're going through something in your life and God's not intervening, do you know that God is probably intentionally not intervening in your situation? I know a lot of us pray that God would take something away for us. But it may be God that's actually arranging that for your life because he's testing you. He's wanting to develop your character and your integrity. So y'all know this about our culture, and I'm going to call it Gen Z a little bit because I've seen this a lot in Gen Z. Comfort. I want comfort. I'm uncomfortable. Guess what? When you follow Jesus, he says, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. That is the opposite of comfort. He says, when you follow me, your life is going to be uncomfortable because I'm going to crucify you and I'm going to kill you until you no longer live, but Jesus lives inside of you 100%. That is not comfortable at all. That hurts a ton. So God does not intervene because God is testing Daniel. So God wants to develop trust with the leader, with you. Did you notice that? God wants to develop trust with you. Trust happens over time through relationship and shared experiences where you prove yourself to someone else. So you have a relationship with God through Jesus, doesn't mean that God trusts you, because you have to be faithful with little to be entrusted to be faithful with more. So God needs to find you trustworthy so he can entrust you with more of himself. Did you catch that? This is huge. God needs to find you trustworthy with him so he can entrust more of himself to you and more of his work to you. So we all have access to God through Jesus, but we don't have the same level of access to his manifest presence in our lives. Because when Jesus went into Jerusalem, remember when they laid out the palm leaves and stuff? You remember that story? And it says Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew people's hearts. So he knew their heart, so he wouldn't entrust himself to them. But if you have a heart after God like David did, guess what God's going to do with you? He's going to entrust himself to you, his presence. So Daniel was willing to give up anything and everything, even to death, to be obedient to God, to stay committed. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are you? Are you willing to give up anything that would cause you to compromise your relationship with Jesus, your commitment to him and obedience to him? Are you willing to give it up? I mean, a lot of us can say, yeah, but when that law is signed and says, if you do this, what are you going to do? Like, you got to choose in advance. And I'm going to go real far with this, but it connects with Cassie, what she shared, and it's being recorded, so I won't expand upon that. I've already decided, if somebody comes and puts a gun to my head as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, what I'm going to do. I'm not backing down. I'm going to say, hey, if you can pull that trigger, because God protects me, God decides when I'm dead. Like, I've been protected so many times from crazy stuff. Like, I'm alive. No, Satan cannot take my life apart from God giving him permission to do it. And the second thing I'll say is, man, Jesus loves you. And I'm going to try and lead that person to Christ. And I'm going to look them in the eyes. And I'm going to look them and say, if you pull the trigger, you got to see my eyes. Like, I've already made that decision a long time ago. My family and I, we will never back down. We will stand until the end, no matter what happens. So you have to decide in advance, how far will you follow Jesus? What will you give up? If he says, give this up, will you do it? Will you be obedient to him and demonstrate your commitment to him? All right, go to the end of the story in verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So what happened between there? Daniel didn't back down, and the king had to throw him in there because he signed this law, threw him in the lions. And guess what God did? God intervened. Because God wanted to see if Daniel would be faithful and committed and obedient to him, even if he was thrown in the lion's den, ready to get killed. But God sent an angel at the last moment, shut the mouths of the lion. So God did intervene because Daniel passed his test. But Daniel was willing to say, I'm all in. If I die, I die. I'm not giving up my obedience to God. So Daniel passed his test. And did you notice what happened to Daniel in verse 28 when he passed his test? God prospered him and God promoted him. So if you want to be promoted in the kingdom of God, you have to demonstrate your commitment to God and your obedience. And as you do that, God will promote you. If you're taking notes, there's a verse, Psalm 75, verse 7. Basically says, God lifts some people up and he lowers some people down. So promotion comes from God. If you want to be promoted, God is the one who promotes you. If you're not getting promoted, get on your face and say, God, why am I not being promoted? He may say, hey, because this area of your character, man, you need to get it worked out before I can promote you, because I want you to have character that nobody can accuse. And if they do, it's false accusations, and I will prove you true in the end. So when we think about leadership emergence, God wants all of you to emerge as leaders in his kingdom, to advance the gospel in your sphere of influence. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're in the career field already, or you're in school, like, God wants you to emerge as a leader. So tests are going to come. They're like waves of an ocean, right? The waves never stop. They just keep coming. But there's breaks between the waves. There's break between tests often. But these tests are tailored specifically to you. They will be different from other people's tests, and they're made for you. So when you're tested, God is going to test you in a very specific, tailored way that will look different than anybody else. Because here's what he's doing. He's going after areas in your character he wants to resolve. Because if he can resolve those areas in your character, then you're trustworthy, and he can trust more of his presence to you, and he can entrust more of his work to you. So the test will hit you in the exact right spot at the core issue God needs to resolve in your heart. So God will test you. But you know what God's heart is for you? He wants you to pass his test. He wants you to pass. He's going to set you up for success, and you're the one who has to choose how you're going to go forward. And so if you're hearing me saying, oh, God, test me, what about temptation? Yes, Satan will tempt you, but God will test you. God will never tempt you, because in the book of James, it says that God won't tempt you. And it says you're tempted when by your own evil desires. So it's a mess in us that's in there that gets tempted, that Satan just taps into. So Satan will tempt you, God will test you, but God will never tempt you. But he will allow Satan to work in your life for God's purposes, which we talked about a couple weeks ago in Satan's sifting, but Jesus' intercession. So this is huge. Catch this. How you respond to the test determines your destiny with God and leadership influence through your life. So how you respond to these tests that God placed in front of you determines the destiny, how far you'll step into the destiny that God has designed for you, and how much leadership influence God will give you to impact people for his kingdom. So Jesus is going to test your integrity. He's going to test your obedience. And he's going to test to see if you're going to stick to the word he has given you in your life. So let me give you an example of this test from my own life. I had a couple of them. And as I thought through them, actually we're all around money, which is kind of funny. So back in college, I worked at a restaurant, and you get tips. The law is you're supposed to report all the tips that you get, like for the law to be taxed. Most, if you work in a restaurant and have worked in one, most waiters and waitresses, they don't report all their tips. They give a low ball because they don't want to be taxed. And when I came up to that and I had to report my tips and I stand there at the computer, I had a choice. Am I going to lie about how much money I'm making and save some on taxes, or am I going to be truthful and get taxed more and then just make it work? I chose always to report all the tips I made every night, no matter what. So if it was a lot of money, I get taxed more. If it was a little bit, I get taxed less. But I chose to do that. Another time, I was reconciling a business bank account. Do you know how much money I had to reconcile with this receipt that was off? 47 cents. As I waited in the line for, like, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, it was a long line at the bank. I went up and the teller was like, you're depositing 47 cents? I said, yeah, here's the 47 cents. Can you deposit this, please? And she said, you know, if you would have taken the time it took you to come here to stand in line, you would have actually made more money just like working in a business. Absolutely. Like, my time is worth so much money. 1 hour of my time is worth like $50 to $100 minimum. 47 cents. And when I got in the car, because believe it or not, I'm an introvert, so it takes me sometimes like process things. But I sat in the car, and you know what I said? I said, I can't sell my integrity. I'm not going to sell it. 47 cents I need to reconcile for everything in the books is straight. I'll take the time and put the 47 cents in. Another one, this was last week. So I had purchased some tickets from an airline last year. They bumped my flight, so I got like some credit. And we were going to buy tickets for Meredith to fly out in a couple months to have give her some rest and some time away, get restored. And I had the credits under my name. And when we went to buy them, where you could put the code in, it said this little phrase at the bottom, this little print. Basically said the code you have and the amount with it is only intended for the specific person that it was given to. So it wasn't assigned to Meredith, it was assigned to me. And I was like, I'm curious if it'll work. And so I threw it in there, and guess what happened? The code worked. And I sat there being like, we could save X amount of money on these tickets, but this fine print says it's not meant for her, it's meant for me. And I said, hey, we shouldn't do this because this isn't what it's meant for. I deleted it out and we redid it and we paid the full price. And afterwards, you know what I realized? God was testing my integrity. Even if it's a small thing, most people are like, oh, dude, just use it. It works anyways. They could have done it in their system, whatever. But no, God was saying, Jared, are you going to be truthful and faithful and have your character and integrity, even if it comes down to 47 cents or, you know, tips at your job or, you know, this airline code that you got? Because you can't buy integrity. You can't buy it, but you can sell it. You can sell your integrity for 47 cents. You could sell it for $1 million. It doesn't matter. You can sell it for a loaf of bread. That's what Proverbs talks about, right? You can sell it for a little bit or a lot of bit, but you can never buy it. You can use your whole lifetime to build your integrity. In an instant, your integrity is gone, and you lose trust with God and with all people. So we can't compromise our integrity. And if you're thinking about character, if you want to know what your character is, you can ask yourself this question. Who am I in the dark? Who am I in the dark when no one's looking, no one sees me, no one knows what I'm doing? Are you the same person in the dark as you are in the light? That is a test of your character. Man, I know this is intense, but this is how God develops leaders. I've been through some crazy stuff. I failed a test. I opened intentionally would tell you how I failed a significant test in my life, but I passed some other tests and God continues to promote me. But here's the thing. If you fail your test, like Saul, if you're taking notes, you want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 27 and 28. God had called Saul to be king, and he was being obedient, and then at some point he was disobedient. You know what God did to him? Set him aside. He removed his anointing and said, Saul, I'm no longer with you. In the same way, if we choose to be disobedient to God, God will actually set us aside from what he wants to do, and he's going to find someone else. Because guess what? After Saul was set aside, guess who God went and found? David. There's always someone that God is preparing to take your spot, to take my spot, but God wants you to fulfill the destiny he has placed on your life. So as I was praying, I'm like, God, what's my role in this whole thing? Like, what am I supposed to do with the leaders you're developing around me? And this is what he put in my heart. He said, watch and pray. He said, watch everybody as I'm testing them. And it's crazy as I'm learning this, because I, for all you that are regulars, I've been watching God test you in a lot of ways. And my role is to pray for you. I'm praying that you pass your tests so that you continue on in God's leadership emergence. And I've watched some of y'all fail your tests, just to be honest. And God is going to retest you again because he wants you to pass his test. He wants you to develop the character integrity to be someone he can trust. So my responsibility is to help you get there and to help you stay. Because once you get there, remember Daniel got there and he became a target. And my role is to help you stay. How do I support you? How do I encourage you? How do I pray for you? How do I watch and pray that God continues to prosper you and cause you to be successful? So what we're going to do is we're going to pass out something called a leadership emergence reflection. So George is going to go around and pass these out. I just want you to take a few moments to look at this, because as you look at it, you will notice that there, and you'll get this in your hand soon. And this will be on the website for those that are listening to it online later. It's a PDF. You'll look at how God tests you in integrity, in obedience, and the words on here. This is like if God gives you a word for your life, he wants to see if you'll be faithful to believe him and stick it through, that God will fulfill the word. Because if God gives you a word or a promise, I can guarantee that you're going to be tested in your life to see if you will believe that that word is actually going to come to pass, because lots of things are going to try and stop it. You can reflect on your failures, which I mentioned mine, the where you pass it to, you can celebrate those, and how God has promoted you. So we'll pass these out, and I want you just to at least take a moment to look through this and to begin to reflect on your own life. And then this week in your time with Jesus, as you spend time in prayer and reflection with him, take this piece of paper and prayerfully reflect what God has been doing to develop you and emerge you as a leader. And ask this question. Ask him, God, where have you been testing me in my past? Where have I passed tests in the past in my life? And where have I failed? And he will show you these tests. Because the three examples I gave you guys, those are three that he brought to my mind as I was reflecting on this personally. So let's take a few minutes to reflect on that. And then we're going to close and have some tacos together. I shared in the beginning how I had messed up. Like, I had sinned against the authority God had placed over me. And so I had to reconcile that and work that out with God and with the person. I actually went back to that person years later, and I actually apologized to them. I took responsibility for myself, even though I was treated poorly, and I apologized to that person. And so in the same way, like, when I sin against them, I sin against God too. And that sin we have in our life separates us from God. Like, we can't have a relationship with God because of our sin. And Jesus is so awesome because he came to this earth fully human like us and 100% God, fully human, fully God. And he lived a life, he never sinned against God or against anybody else. He lived that perfect life. So when he willingly went on the cross to die for our sins and the sins of anybody who believes in him and asks forgiveness, it restores and reconciles our relationship with God. And not only that, he was put in a grave for 3 days, fully dead, and he rose from the dead, conquering death so we can have eternal life. So what this does for us is it opens up the relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus. And when we say, yeah, Jesus, forgive me my sins, I want a relationship with you, with the Father, and I want to receive your Spirit. It's a free gift. All you have to do is believe and ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you turn over your life. You turn from living your own way how you want to live, and you fully surrender and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going all in. You're the one who rules my life. You're now my Lord. He becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sin, and he becomes your best friend. So if you're here today and you're like, yeah, I want to start that relationship with Jesus, you can just raise your hand and say, yeah, today's the day I want to start that commitment to him. And if you want to talk more afterwards, find us with a green name tag. And then we're going to have some people here who are going to be at the Get Prayer Here sign. They would love to pray with you after service. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand as I pray us into tacos, and we'll eat some good food together. So Jesus, we're so grateful for this beautiful day you've given us that we can be at the park. Thanks for allowing us to worship you with our voices, to get in your word, to have fellowship, and encourage one another, and to care for each other. So Jesus, I pray for everybody here, because you're calling every single person here to be a leader in your kingdom, to emerge as a leader. And so Jesus, I pray as you test them, I pray that they would remain faithful, committed, obedient, steadfast, and consistent. Jesus, not compromising in any way, but saying yes to you. And Jesus, I pray when it gets hard, I pray you send people to encourage them, to pray for them, and to support them. Say, you can do this. You can make the right choice. You can be obedient to God no matter what it costs you. It's always worth it. So Holy Spirit, would you purify us as a church? Would you purify our hearts and our character? Would you make us women and men of integrity who you can trust? Would you make us obedient to you, to be faithful to you to the end? Jesus, I pray that you promote the people that you're calling to promotion now, whether it's a spiritual promotion, a promotion at their job, or just a promotion of a word you've given them in their life. If it's time for fulfillment, I declare fulfillment of that word right now in Jesus' name to be activated in your life. Holy Spirit, would you fill each person here? Fill them to overflow. Fill them with your joy and with your peace. Would you increase our zeal, our drive to seek and save lost people, to share your love with those around us at work, in our neighborhood, in our school, and to take that step in boldness to share you, Jesus. Father, I ask your protection over everyone here, that you'd set a wall of protection around them and their families and their loved ones. Thank you, Jesus, that everyone here is under your blood, and I ask you to sign a legion of angels to everybody's life for your kingdom and gospel purposes. As we eat tacos, would you give us supernatural strength and immunity for some real good food? Would you satisfy our taste buds? And as we hang out together, we have a ton of fun and build friendships and relationships. Jesus, in your name, amen.